voice that travels well and sings into this world. It's not a fear and not a hope, not the tears of letting go. Listen deeply now, listen and
now. Hello everybody, you're listening to Osho Radio. Sometimes it just hits you. This is the most beautiful, the deepest discourse by Osho I've ever heard. In today's program, you will listen to a discourse by Osho in which he's touching so many deep subjects. After all, Osho says, the only meaning of the master is to shift your consciousness, to enter into the greater whole. Unless you love God, I heard him say, your love will be in vain. He's talking about so many things. The relationship with your family, the meaning of organization, law versus love, and also about the new man. We have music going together with the discourse, a few beautiful Sufi songs in which the words of the Sufi mystic Rumi are being celebrated, and some other musical surprises. Just sit back and relax and enjoy.
Thank you.
Today's discourse is from the series Come Follow to You, Volume 2, Number 5. The sutras Osho talks about are taken from the Bible, from the Gospel of Matthew. In Part 1, Jesus doesn't want to talk to his own family because they see him as the old Jesus, the son of Joseph, not as Jesus Christ. He speaks very harsh words to them. How is this possible? Osho shows us the way to a deeper understanding. And then in part 2, Jesus even says, hate the ones you love. What does he mean? He means go beyond the small family. Only if you can love the big family, the whole existence, you can love the small family also, and not the other way around. Don't make your love too small.
Everybody is born great and dies very small. Everybody is born like a god and almost always dies like a dog. What happens in between? Why man is crippled by life? One should hope that man grows to greater dimensions, grows to greater heights, grows to greater life. But that rarely happens. As it happens usually, man starts shrinking. The moment man is born, he starts shrinking, becoming smaller and smaller and smaller. This has to be understood. When a child is born, he has no identity. He simply is. That isness is vast. It has magnitude. It has no limitation. The child has no name yet. The name cripples. The child has no identity. The child does not know who he is. That is his greatness. That is his vastness. He is one with existence. He is yet not separated. He has no boundary, no finitude. A child has no character. That's his beauty. The more character you have, the smaller you have become. Character is an armor around you. It defines you. And every definition is death. Let me repeat, every definition is a death, only the undefined is alive. The child has a body, but he has no form. In his consciousness yet no form exists. Even if you put a mirror before the child, he will not recognize himself. He will look at the mirror. But he will not recognize that he is reflected there, because he does not know yet who he is. That is his innocence. Then things start gathering around the name, and it becomes an imprisonment. The form, the recognition, the identity, the religion, the society, the color, the nation, and they all become confinements. Now the child is shrinking, the vastness of the sky disappearing, clouds are gathering, and they go on suffocating your being. By the time you die, you were already dead long before. If one has to attain to one's real glory again, one has to become indefinable. One has to lose character. It will be very difficult to understand me. I say one has to lose character, because character is what gives you limitation. Character is a fixity, a frozenness. Unless the character melts and you start flowing again, and you become unknown to yourself and unpredictable. Nobody, not even you yourself, know what is going to happen in the next moment. You start living by moment to moment. The calculation is gone. The planning disappears. You float like a white cloud in the sky, moving, but without any motivation. Moving, but not knowing where one is going. Moving, but remaining in the moment. So totally here now, that past and future make no sense. Only present is meaningful. Then what will be your identity? Who will be you? You cannot say anything about it. That is unutterable. That's what Buddha calls the inner emptiness, anatta, no self. That's what Jesus calls the kingdom of God. Something mysterious that you are, and not that you have to become. You are already that. All your imprisonment is just a mental attitude. You call yourself a Hindu or a Christian or a Mohammedan. Not that you are a Christian. How can you be a Christian and how can you be a Mohammedan? How can just a mere ideology confine you? How can just words make presence for you to such a vital energy, to a such a vital reality? How just mere words, Hinduism, Christianity, can become imprisonments? Impossible. But you believe in them, then the impossible becomes possible. You think yourself, you are this or that. That very thinking makes you this or that. But you are not. In the innermost core of your being, you remain total freedom, absolute freedom. Now, try to enter these sutras. They are very delicate, and there is every possibility to misunderstand them. And Jesus has been misunderstood on many points. One of the points is covered by these sutras. People have been finding fault with him because of these sutras. On one hand, he goes on talking about love. Even he says God is love. And then on another hand, he goes on saying such contradictory things. How a man of love can say these things? But he has said. So every possibility is that they have not been understood rightly. Let us try. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother and who are my brother? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brother. These are my mother and these are my brothers. Jesus knows well that his mother and his brothers don't understand him. They think really that he has gone a little crazy. Their own brother, and he thinks himself that he is the Son of God. Jesus' relatives thought him that he is besides himself. He is a little eccentric, crazy, mad. They felt pity for him. So when somebody said that your brother, your brothers and your mother are waiting without, desiring to speak with you, he knows what they are going to speak to him. He knows that their whole effort is somehow to bring him back to home and make him normal. Jesus knows well what they want to talk about. And they have not come to him. They have come only to the son of Joseph, which he is no more. He was, but since John the Baptist initiated him into a different life, changed and converted him to a new plane of consciousness, initiated him, led him into a new door into existence, since then he is no more the same. They want to talk to something which exists no more. Jesus knows that they have not come for him. They are not yet ready. And they don't understand that a discontinuity has happened in the life of Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come, and they are not in any way related. That is the problem. When the new comes, the new is absolutely new. It is not a modified form of the old. When the old goes, it goes totally. There comes a gap, a silence, an emptiness. The old goes and the new comes. The body remains the same. Nobody will be able to see what has happened, but everybody will feel something has happened. Even you yourself will become aware by and by that you are no more the old. Recognition takes time. Sometimes months, sometimes years. Recognition takes time. By and by you become aware that I am no more the same person I used to be. And when this realization surrounds you, you flower. A different grace becomes available to you. The old man lives under law. The new man lives under love. The old man lives in the society. The new man becomes a peak of absolute aloneness. The old man lives in the past, in the future. The new man lives only in the present. The new man has a presence, a different quality of being. Thank you. to now, whatever he has said can be understood. The next sutra is really very dangerous. He says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brother and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. A man who has always been talking about love, why so suddenly talks about hate? The word hate does not fit on the lips of Jesus. The man seems to be contradictory, paradoxical. But that is only an appearance. We have to go deep. If Jesus says hate, he must mean something. And he means, first, man is born as part of the divine, as part of the totality, the whole. The child in the mother's womb is not in the mother's womb. The child is the womb of the whole. Mother is nothing but part of the whole. Mother is the nearest part of the whole. But the child exists in divine, in the totality. He does not know the mother. He simply exists, and then he is born. He is separated from the mother. But even while separated from the mother, he has yet got no identity. He cannot say, "I am." Still the purity of amness continues. Then by and by, he will start loving the mother. The moment he starts loving the mother, he will forget the wholeness of amness, the totality. Love of the mother will become oblivion of the total. Then he starts loving the father. He forgets the total completely. Then his brothers, sisters, then a family is created, a small family, and he has forgotten the great family of existence. Unless his consciousness shifts again from the mother, from the father, from the brothers and sisters, and the whole gestalt changes, again he looks at the whole, and the whole becomes the family. Again he lives with the stars and the trees and the rivers and the ocean and the saints. He will not be able to follow Jesus. You will not be able to follow me. Because what is the meaning of following Jesus? The only meaning is to shift the focus of consciousness. If you have fallen in love with a family, you have to go beyond that love. Otherwise, that very love, that very attachment will not allow you to enter into the greater whole. When he says hate, he simply means don't love. When he says hate, he uses a very strong word to emphasize, because love has made you part of a small family, then only hate can make you again a part of the whole. But by hate he does not mean hatred. By hate he simply means annihilate the love, the attachment. In India, we have been using the word asakti, rag, attachment, being colored by the attachment, being non-attached, renounce the small, so that you can find the whole. And this is the beauty, that if you renounce the part, the small family, and attain to the great family, suddenly you will realize that the small family is there in the great. Because where it will go? In the small family, the great family is not there. But in the great family, the small family is there. When the whole earth becomes your home is included in it. But when your only home is your home, the whole earth is not included in it. When the whole sky becomes yours, the small sky that you used to think is yours is there. The greater includes the smaller. The smaller cannot include the greater. Your father, your mother, your children, your wife will be there. Not as your mother, as your father, as your wife, but as gods. In fact, you have not taken anything away from them. On the contrary, you have given something to them. Before they were ordinary human beings, now they will be divine. Your renunciation has not destroyed anything, on the contrary, it has revealed much. Lose the small so that you can gain the whole, and that small will be regained again in greater glory. But in the beginning it will seem as if you are moving away from love, because that is the only love you know, the love of the family, the love of the country. That is the only love you know, and it is a false love. Because unless the love includes the whole, it can never be satisfactory. Because love is vast and can only be fulfilled by the vast. Unless you love God, you will love in vain. Your love will create frustrations. It will never give you a contentment. Because love needs such a vast phenomenon to fill it, that only God can do that. No father, no mother, no wife, no children, no sister, no brother, no friend can do that, unless God comes to you as a father, or your father appears you to be a God. Unless the wife becomes the whole, or the whole becomes the wife, you will not be fulfilled. That's why there is so much misery, because of love. You love the part, and you expect the whole, that's the misery. You love the small and you want the great. It cannot be fulfilled, hence frustration. Whenever you fall in love with a man, you expect something divine. Every lover expects. And when it is not delivered, you are hurt and you feel you have been cheated. Then the misery of love arises. Expectations are great, and the reality is very tiny. You expect from wrong sources. You want a small stream to become the ocean. It cannot. It is helpless. And when your eyes are open to the reality and the dream disappears and the honeymoon is over, a small tiny stream, and you were thinking of the ocean, now you are fallen, frustrated, wounded deeply in the heart. Love wounds because you expect from the part the whole. And this is the only love that you know. This love is not exactly love, it is attachment. There is a greater love which arises only when your eyes are open to the vast, to the infinite, to God. When Jesus says hate, He simply says, whatsoever your love is nothing worth. Move to the other. Move to the other extreme. Drop all this nonsense that you call love. It is not love. It may be fear. Fear of loneliness. But it is not a sharing of being. It is the game of the ego, and love cannot be the game of the ego. You drop all this, and by dropping all this, tremendous possibilities open. First, if you drop all so-called love, the love of the father, the mother, the brother, the sister, the family, the wife, if you really drop it, suddenly your identity will be lost. Who will be then? Who will be you then? If somebody asks you right now, you say, I am somebody's son, somebody's brother, somebody's husband, somebody's father. This is my religion. This is my country. This is the group I belong to. You have something to say about yourself. Think, you belong to no country. You belong to no sect, no church, no denomination. You have cut all bonds from your family, father, mother, wife. You are absolutely alone. Who are you then? How you will say who are you? By cutting the attachments, you have killed your ego. That is the meaning of Jesus. He says, throw your attachments, your ego exists and gets nourishment. Cut all the attachments and suddenly the ego collapses. It has nowhere to stand, nothing to be supported by. Suddenly it collapses, and in that collapse, for the first time you are born. For the first time, you are you, not somebody's son, not somebody's husband, not somebody's father. For the first time you are simply there in your absolute nakedness, purity, innocence, undefined you are, all definitions gone. Suddenly you start throbbing with a new heart. You become part of the whole. That is small family that was surrounding you and creating a boundary is no more there. You became small because of the attachment of the family. You become vast once that attachment is transcended. That's why Jesus uses a very strong word. He says the hate, because less than that won't do.
This was Osho Radio for today. The music you listened to was by Maniko from her CD House of the Beloved, the song Now and Now and Now. Then you heard Ramananda from his CD Secret Language, a song called Whoever Finds Love. After the discourse, you heard Antar playing his guitar from his CD Paradise Cafe, a piece of music called Oregon. Who remembers the mountains and the forest, the birds and the deer, and all the small miracles that happened every day in that enormous piece of nature of Rajneeshpuram, USA? Listening to the music, you can just dream away. The last song is from Sudananda, from his CD, Garden of Mystic Lovers, a song called The New Rule. The music is put to the words of Coleman Barks with his Sufi poems. Take care and namaste.
It's the old rule that drunks have to argue and get into fights. It's the old rule that drunks have to argue and get into fights. The lover's just as bad, he falls into a hole, but deep in that hole he finds something shining, worth more than any amount of money or power. He finds something shining. Took it as a sign to start singing. I took it as a sign. Falling up into that bowl of sky. The bowl breaks, everywhere is falling. Everywhere is falling. Everywhere is falling. Everywhere. Nothing else to do. Here's a new rule. Wine glass and fall towards the glass blower's breath. Here's the new rule, break the wine glass and fall towards the glass blower's breath. Falling, everywhere is falling.